And we are live here. Welcome to episode. We are live. Welcome to episode 57 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura, and we have my fantastic co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. It's been a while since we uploaded an episode, but we are back, and we are better than ever, especially because on this special occasion, Thursday, September 9th, 2021. It is the start of the 2021 NFL season. Thursday night football is upon us. I'll leave it to my co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. How are you this fine Thursday, September 9th, 2021?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm blessed. Straight off of a fresh cut. You dig that. You know what I'm saying? So definitely feeling good, doing good today, man. You know, I'm great. How are you doing, man?
Man, I am doing good on this fine Thursday, September 9th. I'm excited for Thursday night football between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be great when we discuss that later on the episode. But before we get into our topics, Caleb, for the listeners of this podcast, where can they find all of the great work that you do?
Oh, okay. Let me show y'all. Let me tell y'all where you can find me on Instagram. Go look up at one Caleb Connett, one CalebConnett. You could go on Twitter, look me up at Caleb Connett 2, CalebConnett 2. And you can click the link tree in the bio. You can find a whole lot of other things too. That's where they can find me at. Where could they find you?
Well, you see, they could find me on Twitter at Matt_Skura. You could check out my Instagram at Matt_Skura20. And underneath both of those bios, I put in the link tree for this podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast. You could find this everywhere, whether you are listening to this episode or our previous episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, name it, it's available everywhere. Once you click on that Linktree bio, you will find where all of our episodes are uploaded on wherever you listen to your podcasts. And with that being said, let's get into one of our first topics of discussion. Caleb, you were very excited when we brought up this topic, and this is about NBA 2K22 and Madden 22, both of which are being released as of late. Since you're a big fan of those, Caleb, I will let you have the floor on this one. What can the viewers, and including myself, what can we all look forward to with these two games that are coming out?
Man, let me have the floor, sit back, get a drink. You got a drink? You comfortable?
Yes, sir.
If you guys didn't know, Matt has his button-down shirt right now. Shit's fly as fuck. So I want you guys to know my guy is fly. He was real comfortable.
Yes, sir. I'm getting comfortable. I'm getting ready to see and maybe even persuade us to get 2K22 and Madden 22.
Oh well, I think I'm gonna do a great job of that. I think I'm going to do an amazing job of that right now. So look. First, let me start off with, what system do you have currently sitting in your room?
Well, I currently right now have the Xbox One S. It is the Xbox before the newest one that came out.
Okay, cool. Thanks for reminding me because I am not an Xbox guy myself. So thank you for reminding me. I truly appreciate that. Now, I recently got the PS5, I want to say about 6 days ago to be exact.
The boy's going up.
Man, recently, I can't even say that. I'm saying the word wrong. Recently, I'm so damn excited. I can't even say it right. Recently, I've just been so excited and happy that I have a game. It's amazing. It's such a plus. And I have Madden, and Madden is just so much better. It feels like you're fucking watching NFL Sunday Ticket, but you're in control of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm a franchise guy. I love rebuilding teams. That's what I like to do. Have this mode called Campus Legends. Matt, you are an NCAA fan, correct?
Yes, I do. I like to indulge in some college football a little bit.
Okay. don't know too much about you when you were younger. You remember they had the NCAA game. A lot of people remember that game back on PS2 and PS3, I believe. Would you remember that game?
Mm-hmm. I do remember NCAA 14.
Okay. So, yeah, like, now they have this mode in Madden called Campus Legends. You could play with, like, the college teams that they, you know, give you. And they're, like, the best players from that college team versus another college team, and you play online. So it's NFL mixed with a little NCAA, which is amazing. It's super fun. Madden, I definitely recommend you guys to get it on the newer system, though. You got to have it on the newer system, not the PS4, not trying to shit on the Xbox S1, my boy, but the newer system just puts you in a whole nother, you know, realm. And I can't even speak for the Xbox S1 or 1S, whatever it's called, because I've never even played it myself. So I'm just saying, the newer system, I'm trying to emphasize, the newer system is definitely where it's at. Now, 2K. 2K comes out today, matter of fact, at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And matter of fact, if for you guys listening, Jules and Jims will be live on Instagram at that time tonight, 9 p.m. tonight. So while you're, you know, downloading that new 2K to your system, go ahead and come check us out on that live. And 2K, I don't even have to convince you guys about 2K. That's just already a must. We got NBA coming up soon. But tonight, you know, we got Thursday Night Football. We got PS5. We got Madden. We got 2K dropping tonight. Man, it gets no better than what's about to go down today. No better.
Hey, man, you're definitely a very good persuader, because I might indulge in getting both those games. And you definitely do have some good points there, Caleb. I have seen Madden being played on the newer Xbox. One of my friends has the newest one. The graphics are definitely much different. You could definitely notice the difference between the two. So I will definitely look forward to that. I'll even look forward to the games regardless of any console, just because one is brand new, and two, it's just a constant to where you have to get the next one.
You know
what I mean? Like, you may have Madden 21, you may input in the rosters on Madden 22, but it's just not the same feeling, you know, as getting, you know, the Madden 22 or even 2K22. Definitely going to be games to look forward to getting and, you know, purchasing in the near future. Another topic that I kind of want to get
as a gamer, before we get to that next topic, as a gamer, I know you understand the excitement. Just getting that next one, you know?
Oh, yes, definitely. I definitely know the excitement. I remember when I was getting 2K21, even Madden 21, when it first came out. That's just one of those where excited to get it, excited to play, and, you know, excited to get things moving forward. With that being said, let's move forward to this recent topic. While we're on the subject of 2K22, Caleb, you mentioned the NBA is almost about a month away. Let's kind of break down some of the recent NBA news that's went down. A lot of crazy things have gone down in the NBA realm since we had our last episode. One of those being Russell Westbrook is a Los Angeles Laker. That's right. Your boy Russ forming a big three with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and a whole bunch of other players are in the format as well. I'd like to throw this out to you, Caleb. With the recent moves that the Lakers have made, after being bounced in the first round the previous year, is this year championship or bust for the Los Angeles Lakers, especially knowing that LeBron James wants these players that he's bringing in, even Hoodie Mello coming in on the Lakers? Is this championship or bust, or can we maybe give the Lakers a pass if they make it to the NBA Finals and lose to a team like the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, you, my friend, no question is a dumb question. You know what I'm saying? But you, my friend, you come from LA. You know what we're about. You know what we're about, Matt. It's championship or bust, even when we had fucking Robert Sacre. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
It's always championship or bust around here. No matter, well, okay. Let's be realistic. The Nets, I don't even know. No matter who we play, there is no exception. There's no exception. It's championship or bust. We got Russell Westbrook. That's just one guy. We got Rondo back, another pivotal piece that we needed. We didn't have Rondo last year, and he was such a pivotal piece because we need a point guard that can shoot, or not that could shoot, but a point guard that could control the offense. You know, a point guard that could shoot is one thing, and that's so, like, valued in today's NBA, and maybe it might even be overvalued, in my opinion. But having a point guard that can run the floor and run the game and be the coach on the floor is just as valuable as that three-point shot. And we've seen that within, you know, the last 2 years with the Lakers having Rondo and then him us not having him. You know what I'm saying? And he's a lot better with us being on the team. We also got Dwight back. We also added DeAndre Jordan. So, you know, you could just expect our defense to be there, expect our veteranship to be there. I mean, we have a hell of a team, man. It's definitely championship or bust. What's your opinion on that? Like, what do you expect from the Lakers this year, and what does that look like? What does that season look like to you?
Man, what I expect from the Lakers is I expect a championship. To be quite honest here, I feel like if you're LeBron James, what happened last year, had a lot of injuries, fell to a 7 seed, lost to the Phoenix Suns in 6 games. Who eventually went on to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. I feel like with this year, you have Anthony Davis, you add on Russell Westbrook, you bring in Carmelo Anthony, you bring in a lot of veteran guys. Dwight Howard's back, Rajon Rondo's back. This is a team to where, for the Los Angeles Lakers, you have a lot to prove. You know, and the reason being is some people may even consider the 2020 championship a fluke just because it occurred at a bubble. Granted, you and I won't say that because, you know, every team had a fair chance. You know, once you're in the bubble, every team that's in the bubble has the opportunity. They just didn't get the job done, and the Lakers did. But some people think differently. I feel like this is a year to where LeBron and the Lakers have to prove that what happened last year isn't going to be a trend. What happened with Anthony Davis's injury, hopefully it's not reoccurring. You know, what happened with LeBron James and his injury, him entering year 18, hopefully that doesn't decline its play entering this year. And you also have to look at, from a standpoint of even Russell Westbrook. I mean, you look at throughout his career, throughout his career, he's been given some passes because, you know, some teams he was on, it just was not capable. Whether it was when he did not have KD, when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, he didn't really have a chance to beat, you know, the Houston Rockets the 1 year he won his first MVP just because Houston was a better built team. You know, and then he gets his big three, doesn't really work out well in OKC. He gets traded to Houston. They get bounced in the second round. Then he goes to the Wizards. He's kind of been journeying all over the place. But the one thing that's kind of slipped from his grasp is a chance at a championship. This, I believe, is Russell Westbrook's best chance to win a championship and to get the label off his back of, you know, maybe even just being a stat padder. I mean, I don't personally call Russell Westbrook a stat padder. I love his energy. I feel like he brings it 100%. Every game he plays, he leaves it all out on the floor. I mean, just the stats from he puts up, he leaves it all out on the line. With the Lakers this year, is just simply for the fact of you have to get to the finals. If the Lakers fail to make the finals, this season is a failure. Granted, even if you fall short of a championship, people even consider it a failure. But you have to get there.
That's how you feel.
I feel like the Lakers, they have to make it to the NBA Finals with the roster that they have. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, okay. Well, I agree. And I also think one thing I heard you say earlier is, you know, we have to hope that LeBron stays healthy and all of our other stars. One thing that I feel is a lot different from our team this year and last year is even if LeBron isn't as healthy, we're still going to be okay. You know, even if AD isn't healthy, I think we're still going to be okay. I think if Westbrook isn't healthy, I think we're still going to be okay. And I think, you know, we'll speak about what I feel, what I see coming from Westbrook a little later. But yeah, just back to what you said, like, you know, as far as the Lakers at least have to make the championship.
Bar none, the Lakers have to at least make it to the NBA Finals just because this is LeBron's roster. This is what he wants. He wanted Anthony Davis. He got Anthony Davis. What happens? They win the NBA championship. He wanted Russell Westbrook to be his third guy. He gets Russell Westbrook. He then goes up to Carmelo Anthony and say, hey, you know what? We've been in the league the same time. Let me try to get you a ring. The Lakers find a way to get Carmelo Anthony to the squad. This is LeBron's team. This is what he wants. He now has what he wants. Now go out there and go to the NBA Finals. If you lose in the NBA Finals, granted, it will be a tough pill to swallow, but at least you made it there. Like, with the team that you have, it's kind of one of those to where you talk all the talk, now back it up. If you're LeBron James, you have the players that you want on the Lakers. You got your team. You got your roster. Now go out there and prove to the league and even prove all your haters and your doubters that you may be the oldest team in the NBA, but you know what? We're going to go out there and try to win this chip. We're going to go out there and make it to the NBA Finals. That's going to be the standard. And I hope that the Lakers live up to that standard, because what happened last year, it was not good. You know, they were, because before injuries, they were one of the top teams in the Western Conference. It looked like they were going to repeat. Injuries happened. You then versus the Phoenix Suns. You were up 2-1 against the Suns, and then it just seemed like everything fell apart. It was not a good way how the season ended. Hopefully, that's just going to be a chip on their shoulder. Then hopefully they just go into this season, which is about a month away, and just scorch the earth.
Yeah, and I just want to speak a little bit about what I feel like Westbrook is going to – because you spoke about, you know, this is Westbrook's year to get that chip off his shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, we're going to see the best Russell Westbrook we've seen in his career with the Lakers, because – he's always been known as a guy, okay, he's too fast. He's fast. It's great. He's fast, but he's too fast. That's his problem. Even John Wall, Derrick Rose, those guys have been, oh my God, their speed is crazy, but they're too fast. You know, Steph Curry, his speed is not the most outstanding thing. You know what I'm saying? He can control it. Kyrie, his speed is not the most outstanding thing. He can control it. So I think we're going to see a lot of Westbrook's speed being controlled, and we're gonna see him be like a prime time Dwayne Wade. Like, he's gonna be a D Wade, but an even better, more high energy type of Dwayne Wade. And then we have Chris Bosh and Anthony Davis, so that's even more overpowered. But I think we're gonna, just speaking on Westbrook, I think that we're gonna see the best Westbrook we've seen in a while.
I like the sound of that. I also throw out to Russell Westbrook and just simply say, Russell Westbrook has done everything. He has an MVP. He's done a whole bunch of fantastic numbers. In fact, I believe he's the all-time leader in triple doubles, if I'm not mistaken. He's done everything you can in the NBA from a point guard perspective, besides winning the championship. He went to the NBA Finals 8 or 9 years ago when it was the young Oklahoma City Thunder. He hasn't been back there since then. I feel like this is a year for Russell Westbrook to where, if he could get that ring, that could be the thing to where people can look at Russell Westbrook and say, hey, man, you know what? He was already going to be a Hall of Famer from the start, but now that he has that ring, that just – almost in a way solidifies that case, and there really isn't anything you could say or even any hate that you could bring down on Russell Westbrook, because a lot of haters of Russell Westbrook say that, oh, he likes stats over wins, and you know, they might throw out the fact of he doesn't have a ring because of it. If he gets that ring this year, a lot of the haters are going to be very quiet.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If he gets that ring, is he the best to ever come out of OKC?
No, I would still say it would be Kevin Durant. I feel like out of all the big three that has come out of OKC, right now speaking, it's Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant got his two rings with the Golden State Warriors. He's going to be pretty much number one regardless of what happens. But that number two in that OKC Big Three is wide open. If Russell Westbrook gets the ring and Harden does it, I think you got to put Russell Westbrook as that number two guy out of the Big Three, and then you put James Harden.
Okay.
So yes.
Is he the best to ever wear a? I just asked that. I didn't ask if he's the best. I think he that puts him as the best to wear a Oklahoma City jersey.
Oh, he's already the best. Just because of the way how Kevin Durant left, yeah, the way how he left in the sour taste. Yes, Russell Westbrook is the best player from the Oklahoma City uniform. Like, he's going to get his jersey number retired, and he's probably the greatest Oklahoma City Thunder in that franchise's history.
I think if he wins a ring, that solidifies that.
I can understand that. You could say
Russ is number one because of the way KD left, but who's really number one right now?
KD. Well, from a skill talent perspective, it is Kevin Durant. As of right now, but if you're saying from a Oklahoma City Thunder franchise perspective, it is Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, just from the franchise. But out of the Big Three in general, just those three guys, it's Durant, it's Westbrook, and then Harden.
Got you. I could agree.
Yeah, just from those Big Three perspective. But for the Oklahoma City Thunder franchise, it's Westbrook, it's Durant, then Harden. Just from the franchise.
Okay, I agree.
And I even want to throw in another NBA news that's been circulating and will most likely be circulating once the NBA season starts. Ben Simmons drama with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. What's going to happen? Will Ben Simmons get his wish and get traded out of Philadelphia, or will he be in a 76ers uniform by the time the NBA season starts in October?
What's the date again? You said it at the beginning of the episode. I want the people listening to hear it one more time.
Well, let's see here. The NBA season starts the opening season. If I'm not mistaken, I'll give a good look. Preseason starts October 3rd, so that's for preseason. Less than a month for preseason. But if you want to find out the regular season and when that starts, that, my friend, starts October 19th. So okay. Regular season basketball starts October 19th, and the Philadelphia 76ers play October 20th. So will we see Ben Simmons in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform on October 20th, or will he be somewhere else?
He'll be in that uniform. I don't see anybody trading for him right now. Like, and what do you give up? Like, what do you give up for him? You let me know. Will he be in that uniform to you? I think he will. I don't see anybody trading for him.
As much as I want to be the drama guy and say no, I feel like for the realistic part, I think you're correct, Caleb. I think he's still going to be in a 76ers uniform by the time the Sixers play the Pelicans on October 20th. I just feel like it's going to be bad whenever the 76ers play their first home game in Philly, when they played the Brooklyn Nets October 22nd, just for the simple fact of the way how they performed last season was atrocious. Even in the playoffs, they did not play good against Atlanta. Ben Simmons was horrible in that Atlanta Hawks series. It's going to be a sour taste, but I do believe Ben Simmons is going to be in a 76ers uniform by the time the season starts. Now, as the season progresses, depending on how the 76ers do, I feel like he could be traded at the trade deadline, depending on where the 76ers are located. Mm-hmm. If the 76ers just fall off and they're not even – if they're nowhere near a top three seed, if they're maybe a fifth or a sixth seed at the deadline, I could see them maybe moving on for Ben Simmons. But for right now,
I like
this at the start of the season, I do believe Ben Simmons will be in a 76ers uniform by the time the season starts. And I don't think the fans are like it. You're most likely going to hear boos from the Philly fans just because Philly is a sports market to where they don't tolerate anybody. I mean, if you're in their uniform and you're not living up to your contract and you're not living to expectations, they're gonna let you hear it. And Ben Simmons, by the time you have your home debut on October 22nd, Philly fans are going to boo you, and they're going to let you know that your performance has been atrocious, and you better get that jump shot during the season, or else you may find yourself on another team by the time the February trade deadline occurs in the NBA season.
Yeah, and I love what you said about, like, you know, they're associating where they are, you know, them being in the fifth, sixth seed. By the time that time comes, I definitely feel like they'll move on from him at that point. But you never know, man. I think they might give it another run with him. And I don't know, man. I think once he gets traded, he's going to have that James Harden effect where he just goes nuts, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. And one last NBA thing I'll leave off on. One last NBA topic that I'll leave on before we get into all of our NFL stuff we have this episode. I just kind of want to see who is our championship contender teams. I'll start off first by naming a couple. I believe in the Eastern Conference teams to watch out for in the Eastern Conference. I believe you got the Brooklyn Nets to watch out for. And the Milwaukee Bucks. I'll start off first with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets ran into a buzzsaw last year in Milwaukee. Just the kind of playoff run that Giannis had was one of the greatest runs that we've ever seen. And if Kevin Durant's foot was literally a size or two smaller, they would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that did not happen. They lost to the Bucks in the second round in seven games. The Brooklyn Nets are pretty much bringing back the same team. You still got Harden. You still got KD. You still got Kyrie. Even LaMarcus Aldridge is coming back to the Brooklyn Nets. I feel like the Nets are kind of in that same conversation with the Lakers that we mentioned earlier. They're in a title or bust situation. And I also throw out the Milwaukee Bucks just for the simple fact of you're the defending champs. You won your first championship for the first time in 50 years. You pretty much have that same big three with Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday. You pretty much have almost the same team that you had that won the championship. I feel you're going to be back in that same conversation, top three seed, regardless of what happens. And I also want to say another team in the Eastern Conference that I could potentially see in the championship conversation. This may be a dark horse team, but I'm going to say the Miami Heat. Don't sleep on the Miami Heat. A lot of people forget the Miami Heat just made the NBA Finals 2 years ago. You got Victor Oladipo is now fully healthy. Jimmy Butler is going to be Jimmy Butler. I expect Tyler Hero to have a bounce back year this year. And you still got Eric Spoelstra as your head coach. You got Pat Riley, who's literally like the godfather in the NBA. You never know what he's going to do. He always finds a way to pull power moves, always finds a way to make trades to make the Heat better. Don't sleep on the Miami Heat if they are one of those teams that sneak into the top three. They may not be the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks, but the Miami Heat are going to be a team to where if you're in the Eastern Conference, you better watch out for the Heat because they don't care who you are. They're going to try to go out there and beat you at every turn. Now, in the Western Conference, you got a lot of teams. You obviously got the Los Angeles Lakers, which Caleb and I, in a way, agree that they're going to be the team to beat in the Western Conference. You also got the Phoenix Suns, the team that just made it to the NBA Finals last year. They bring back Chris Paul. You have Devin Booker. You have DeAndre Ayton. They're going to be a team to compete in the Western Conference. You also got the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets. And I'm even going to throw in the Golden State Warriors. Do a lot of people forget that the Golden State Warriors won three championships in 4 years and made it to five straight NBA finals? Do a lot of people know that? Because the way how people are talking, a lot of people are thinking the Warriors aren't that same team anymore. But last I checked, you got Steph, you got Klay returning, you got Draymond Green, you got James Wiseman, who's only going to get better in year two. You got Andrew Wiggins on the squad. You still got Steve Kerr as your head coach. If this Warriors team is healthy, they're going to be scary. They're going to be a top three team in the Western Conference if they stay healthy. I'm even going to almost say you can almost book it that if the Warriors are healthy, they're going to be a top three team in the Western Conference. That's saying something because you got a lot of tough teams in the Western Conference. But those are just some of my teams that I believe are going to be in title contention. What about you, Caleb? What are some teams that you have in the NBA title conversation, East or West?
Ah, man. You know what? In the East, we got to head out and put the Nets there. Obviously, they're almost there without explanation. They have a solid team. They have solid depth, I think. I think they revamped the team to be even better than it was last year and to do even more than it could have did if they would have won last year. Secondly, I've got to give the respect to the Bucks, the reigning champs. I think I could see them there again. You know, I believe in their big three. They're hard, tough fought big three. Although I do put them second because I do feel like their offseason wasn't as strong as the Lakers or the Nets. I like that you put Miami there. I acknowledge Miami and their talent. But with this one, I'm going to ride with Ice Trade again. And that's the Hawks. I think the Hawks are somebody that the East is going to be a lot harder to handle. If they could be healthy, maybe they could pull off a trade for a top guy like a Bradley Beal, maybe even a Ben Simmons, you know?
Ooh, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons with Trae Young, that would be a bit different. You know what I'm saying? But I like for the most part, I like those three teams in the East: the Nets, Milwaukee, and the Hawks. And then when we fly out to the West, I got to put the Lakers on there. You know that they're a tough team this year. I've got to put Phoenix on there. They're definitely a tough, well-deserved team. I think they're going to be a lot better now that they know what they can do. I've got to put the Nuggets there. This is like their do-or-die year to me. I think that they need to truly get it together, figure out their direction and what's going to happen. And I'm going to go with the Lakers, Phoenix, and the Nuggets. And you've convinced me to put Steph in there too, because they're just so scary. They're just so scary. You never know what to expect. They're scary. I'm going to go with those four teams, the Warriors, Lakers, and Phoenix, and the Nuggets. That's who I got.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, I definitely like the sound of that as well. I think with all those teams in the NBA, they're definitely going to be in the title contention. Let's move on. With that being said, let's move on to the NFL side of things. NFL is upon us, and that means fantasy football. Fantasy football is one of the biggest things to occur from the months of September all the way till January.
Yes.
And I kind of want to, in a way, kind of give a fantasy football review for both of us. I'll start with you, Caleb. How many fantasy leagues are you in? And do you think you could win, any of those fantasy leagues that you are in?
I'm in a couple of fantasy leagues, you know, some here and there. I'm a winner, bro. I don't even join without the intentions of winning, you know? So I think my team is good enough for me to win all three. All couple leagues that I'm in. I think this year I'm trying to win all three, and I think I could definitely do it. Definitely.
Ooh, okay. I like that energy. I like that energy. I I feel that same way. I'm in 9 fantasy football leagues.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ, Lord.
I'm in 9 fantasy football leagues. I definitely feel like the league I'm in with you, Caleb, I don't even know why you're talking, thinking that you could beat me in your fantasy league. I just feel like I got the team. I got the team, man. I got the juice. I mean, I got Lamar, I got McLaurin. I got the guys. I got the players. But I also want to say I feel that same energy in all 9 of my fantasy leagues. I feel like you don't just sign up for fantasy football just for the fun of it. Nah, you sign up to win. And I wanna try to be 9-0. Will I be 9-0 in all my fantasy leagues? Probably not. But I do want to try to have a 500 record. I want to try to be at least 5-4. You know, maybe make a couple deep playoff runs, which I feel like I have the capabilities to do. So we'll see what happens there. I think it's going to be exciting for fantasy football. I do want to say, though, for some fantasy football players to look forward to, though, if you somehow, some way are doing a fantasy draft before Thursday Night Football, I would say don't sleep on that Broncos running back, Javonte Williams. I feel like he's going to be a guy to where, you know, he may not get the starting reps the first couple games of the season, but later on, he's going to make a big impact. And another player that Caleb and I both love, Marquez Callaway out of the New Orleans Saints. If you see him in any fantasy leagues, pick him up or draft him because he's going to be receiver 1 for 6 weeks with Thomas injured. So those are some of the fantasy football players that we're looking forward to and some of the fantasy leagues that Caleb and I are in. And we all intend to win our fantasy leagues. I'll kind of throw out to you, Caleb, what other fantasy football players are you kind of in a way looking forward to, whether that be having a bounce back year or just some sleeper players?
Man, I'm looking forward to the rookies, man. I've been like, I want to go back to fantasy football for a second. Cause we remember that's how, we met playing fantasy football. We managed our first league. And I think that wasn't my first league, but that was the first league I managed. And I managed it with Matt, which is super, super dope. Matt, was that your first? I think when we were talking, that was around your first time.
First one being a commissioner. I've been in leagues about a year or two before that, but first one being like a commissioner with something on the line.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I have that trophy. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, I felt short in the semis, but yeah. I'm glad my boy had it. I gave a good old commissioner's congratulations speech, and then I gave Caleb that trophy like it was a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, man, it was definitely fun. I definitely still have it, so love it. But you know what, bro? I'm really excited to see how the rookies do, the Zach Wilsons, the Justin Fields, Trey Lance when he even gets in here. I'm excited to see what all the rookies do. Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts. I think just like this this class offensively is just overpowered. So I'm excited to see what they do this year. And then I'm also excited to see what the running backs do this year. I think, you know, just the running back class as a whole, the past 2-3 years have been kind of dry. It's been more of a receiver market when we talk about fantasy. But right now, I think the market's very, very hot for running backs. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Cool. I like the sound of that. Caleb, you mentioned breakout rookies that you like to see. Let's move into breakout week 1 rookies. Caleb, who do you believe is some of the breakout rookies that you will see have a good performance this upcoming week, week 1?
Mac Jones.
Oh. Jamar Chase. All right. What else?
And I think we see Devontae Smith have a good game.
Ooh, I like those.
Hold on. I have one more. Mekhi Parsons. I think he's going to be great tonight.
Ooh, Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys. All right.
Let me know. What about you?
Ooh, I will say for those of you that are listening to this episode, if Micah Parsons has a great game, you heard it from Caleb first that Micah Parsons is going to have a good week one performance. I also agree with you. I believe Mac Jones is going to have a solid game in week one. It being QB1, the Pats, they play the Miami Dolphins. I like his chances there. Another rookie that I believe will have a breakout performance, I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe with the kind of team that they're going up against, the Houston Texans, they're kind of rock bottom. I expect Trevor Lawrence to have a good breakout game there. I also want to look forward and see what the kid Najee Harris has got. I mean, Najee Harris, he's one of the first backs taken in this year's draft. He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to be a very run-heavy team. And I'm just going to look forward to see what he's able to do. And the last rookie that I'll throw in on the list, it may be a surprising one, but I believe he could do good. Jalen Waddle on the Miami Dolphins. Jalen Waddle, he's got his old reuniting with Tua Tagovailoa. I feel like if the Dolphins want to have a chance to beat the Patriots in week one, that Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle connection has to be key. And I wouldn't be shocked if Jalen Waddle has a great game against the New England Patriots. So those are my breakout rookie performances for week one. Caleb, you had a great list. I love the players that you mentioned. That was my list of four players. Let's also kind of move into the top five receivers for week one. Obviously, as you guys know, in one of our previous episodes, we did a top 10 receivers list, but this is the top five receivers strictly for week one. It could change as the season goes on, but for week one, I will simply start off first by saying I believe the top five is Devontae Adams at number one, DeAndre Hopkins at number two, Tyreek Hill at number three. Number four is a toss-up. It's a toss-up at number four. But I'm going to say for week one, Keenan Allen, number four. That's right. I see Keenan Allen sneaking into that top four list. And at number five for week one, I am going to say this may be a shock to some people. Well, no, you know what? It's not a shock. Mike Evans at number five. Those are going to be my top five receivers for week one. I believe each one of these receivers is going to have a great performance in week one. Those are my top five guys looking forward to week one. I kind of want to hear from you, Caleb. Who are your top five receivers for week one?
You know what, man? I'm going to go with Mike Evans at number one.
Okay.
I know that he's in the best shape of his career right now. So I'm very, very excited to see what he can do. With that being said, I'm going to go with him. Number two, I'm going to go with – this is week one. Number two, I'm going to go with A.J. Brown, I think.
Okay. All right, A.J. Brown, like that.
He's going to have a solid week. It's something about just him and having Julio as a mentor. I think he's just going to have a great week, you know? Not anything too crazy, but I think he's going to have a great week. I just feel that. At three, I'm going to have to go with Devontae. You know what I'm saying? I hope he doesn't tear up the Saints too much. But, you know, we have to think about they got Marshawn Lattimore that's going to be following him the whole night. So, you know, a great receiver gets other receivers open by just being not great, that much of a great receiver. You know what I'm saying? So just because he doesn't end up with 110 catches and 200 yards doesn't mean he had a bad game. You know, we could see Adams end up with maybe four catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. That's a solid game when you see everybody else who's gotten the ball and who's able to play make themselves just simply because of him, you know, being who he was. So I'm going to go with Devontae Adams at number three. I'm going to go with Hopkins at number four. Reason why I say that, you know, AJ is going to have a good game. I think Hopkins is going to have a good game as well. He is a kind of like an only target for Kyler. And then I think Stephon Diggs is going to have a great week as well, just because of the fact that again, he is the Bills' only target. And although the Steelers have a good defense, I think Stephon Diggs just attracts a lot of action. So those are my guys for week one. You know, it is a little unexpected. Doesn't have the top five guys in there, but you know, from week to week it varies. You might see Henry Ruggs have the best week this week. It just works out like that sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that definitely is true. It will vary week by week for the listeners out there. So for those of you guys who may try to flip on Caleb saying, how you got AJ Brown being number two out of all the NFL? It's not NFL. It's for week one. Yeah. Each week can change. You know, the defensive matchups can be very different for each receiver. But with that being said, let's move on to the cream of the crop.
Yep.
The part that everybody's looking forward to for this episode, our week one predictions. That's right. Football is back. Thursday night football is tonight. Games start on Sunday. And that means for all the listeners, if your man is listening to this, and for the ladies that are listening out here, do not try to get your man to do stuff on Sundays, because his Sunday is going to be occupied all the way till February, because football Sunday is upon us. And with that being said, let's talk about the week one predictions. Thursday night football tonight, Caleb, Cowboys versus the Buccaneers. Who do you believe is going to come out on top?
Man, we got to pay attention to who's out on the O-line for the Cowboys. That's a hefty hit. That's always been, you know, what's good for them. I'm going to go with the Bucs tonight,
though. Yeah, that's definitely a good pick. I agree with you as well. I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I feel like the Buccaneers are just too powerful for the Cowboys. They're bringing back all 22 starters from the Super Bowl run. And like you mentioned, Caleb, Zach Martin being out is going to be a huge hit for the Cowboys. Well, one thing with the Cowboys, I love that Dak is back. I love that he's going to be out there on the field, especially from that gruesome injury he had last year. Love seeing him progress and get healthy. Yep. But the Buccaneers are just a well-run team. They're going to take care of business tonight versus the Dallas Cowboys in Tampa Bay. Banner night in Tampa. Going to be very excited. With that being said, let's move on to the Sunday games. We'll start off first in Atlanta. The Atlanta Hawks take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Caleb, who you got in this game?
I'm going with the Eagles, man. I'm going with the Eagles. I'm going with the Eagles, and I'm not being biased. I just think the Eagles will have a good week. And I think Hurts will prove that he's a solid quarterback. I think people are also over, you know, putting too much hype on the Falcons. You know, I think Matt Ryan has to prove himself and prove how he's going to be a great quarterback with Julio no longer on the team. You know, you can no longer just throw the ball and then Julio's going to come get it. No, it doesn't work like that anymore. So I think the Eagles are going to take this one away from the Falcons. That's who I'm rolling with.
Ooh, this is where we first differ. I got the Atlanta Falcons beating the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like at home in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Arthur Smith's first game as a head coach, Matt Ryan, he may not have Julio, but he's got his boy Calvin Ridley out there. And I believe Kyle Pitts, I may have not have mentioned him in rookie breakout performances, but watch out for Kyle Pitts in this game against Atlanta and see how they utilize him. You know, will they utilize him as a receiver or will they utilize him more as a tight end? Kyle Pitts, he's very versatile, very flexible. I feel like with the momentum Atlanta has at home too, in front of a full crowd, Atlanta's going to be rocking. I got to go with the Atlanta Falcons in this one. Our next game we have, the Pittsburgh Steelers will take on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. I'll start off first by saying I believe this is going to be the Bills. Bills all the way. I feel like Buffalo is just a well-run team. Pittsburgh had a lot of departures last year with Pouncey retiring. They lost some key guys on their O-line. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills, they came off their first AFC Championship game appearance in almost 25 years. Josh Allen is back and paid handsomely. The Bills as a whole are back together. You know, you still got Diggs. You got Beasley as a good receiver two option. got a good running back core. That defense with Jadavious White is always going to be solid. At home in front of Bills Mafia, I feel like the Bills are going to take this one. And don't be shocked if the Bills beat the Steelers by double-digit points. Who do you have, Caleb?
Man, I got the Bills. Like I said, you know, I think the Bills are just going to be able to run over the Steelers. Although I must say the Steelers defense was good, I think they're going to be even better this year. I just don't see the Bills losing this one. They have a solid defense to keep up. Josh Allen is an explosive quarterback who can put points on the board. Yeah, Diggs, who could get the ball, playmate. And, you know, if their running game could be, you know, past subpar, I think it's going to be a lot for them to stop. So I'm going with the Bills on this one, boy.
All right. I'm glad we could agree on that one. Let's move on to our next game. The Minnesota Vikings will travel to Cincinnati to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Who do you have in this game, Caleb?
Man, I got the Bengals. I think the young guys are going to come out striking tonight. I think the young guys are going to come out striking. I don't know, man. I'm not too convinced on the Vikings. How do you feel? What do you think is going to pop off here?
Man, I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going a little different. I feel like Minnesota, I feel like they're going to be a team that comes in with a different energy. There's a lot of talk of them in the offseason. They won 7 games last year. Granted, their defense is suspect, but this is the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't really have a lot of promise. They have a promising offense, but the defense is very shaky as well. And I just trust a veteran quarterback. Granted, Kirk Cousins, he can't win the big games in prime time, but this is a prime time game. This is a 10 a.m. Pacific time game. And I also, with Minnesota, you got Dalvin Cook healthy. You got the gritty master, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen on the offense. I just think it'll be too much for the Bengals defense to handle. But I got the Vikings winning this game in Cincinnati. Let's move on to another game. I feel like this is going to be a no-brainer for you and I. The San Francisco 49ers travel to Detroit to play the Detroit Lions. I got the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think it's a question. San Francisco is just the well-built team. They're just built better, and they just have a lot more to look forward to. The Niners are trying to compete for a Super Bowl. Lions are trying to compete for the number one overall pick. There's different levels to this. I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. Who you got? Do you also have the San Francisco 49ers like me, or are you going to be a risk taker and go with Detroit?
Man, I got the Niners, man. I want to see Trey Lance on the field, man. I'm really excited to see how he fits with them, but I got the Niners. Easy.
Would you still have the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo were named the week one starter?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Yeah.
With that being said, one of the most exciting games to look forward to in week one, the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray and company will travel to Nashville and play the Tennessee Titans with King Henry, Tannehill, Brown, and Julio Jones. Who do you got, Caleb? Tennessee or Arizona?
Man, I got Tennessee, man. I think their coaching is very disciplined. That's one thing that I like about their coaching. They're disciplined. They stick to their game. They play their game. And that's a lot of the reason why Tom Brady is no longer on the Patriots and a lot of the reason why they even got Julio Brown to come over there in the first place. So I think it's going to be a Titans, you know. They're a very disciplined team, and they play their game, and I like that about them.
I love your mindset. I was always kind of flipping back and forth, but once I saw Tennessee trade for Julio Jones, I immediately pressed the Tennessee Titans over the Arizona Cardinals. I believe the Tennessee Titans are going to win this game in Nashville. Julio Jones' first game as a Tennessee Titan, I think it's going to be a memorable one. You got A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. I feel like it's a recipe for disaster for Arizona's defense. Tennessee comes out with the victory. Let's move on to another good game to look forward to. The Seattle Seahawks go to Lucas Oil Stadium to play the Indianapolis Colts. I'll start off first by saying, let Russ cook. Hawks win by double digits. Who you got, Caleb?
What?
Hey, man, got to be bold. I'm going to say Hawks by double digits. That's right.
Hawks by double digits. I'm rolling with you, man. I'm in the car. I'm in the car.
Hey, I like the sound of that. Another game to look forward to between two young players. You got Chase Young and the Washington football team playing host to Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Who you got, Caleb?
Man, I got all the Chargers. This is a tough one. I got Washington and the Chargers at the same time. I don't know what to choose. But I'm going to go with the Chargers, man. I think overall, Herbert's going to be able to control the game and lead them to the promise. For sure. So I got the Chargers, bro.
All right. I like the sound of that. I am going with the Los Angeles Chargers as well. I feel like with their new revamped offensive line, them getting Corey Lindsey in the offseason, them making a good draft pick as well, helping out the O-line. Justin Herbert, I think, is only going to get better from year one to year two. The defense with Derwin James back and healthy, I feel like the Chargers are going to go into Washington. And with Washington, they got an iffy QB situation. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's only good for a couple weeks. And then your next QB is Taylor Heinicke, very on and off. Give me the Chargers in this game in D.C. Another game to watch out for, the New York Jets will travel to Carolina and play the Carolina Panthers. I will start off first by saying I got the Carolina Panthers in this game. I feel like it's going to be Sam Darnold's revenge against the Jets. I feel like he was done dirty by the Jets. I mean, just the coaching staff that he had, the players around him were not good. I feel like him in a new environment in Carolina with Matt Rhule as a head coach, I feel like Sam Darnold is going to come in with an extra chip on his shoulder knowing that he's versing the Jets. And I think he's going to dominate the Jets. But I would like to see what Zach Wilson can do in a Jets uniform. But that does not change my opinion. I got the Carolina Panthers winning this game against the New York Jets. Who do you have winning this game, Caleb?
I got to go with you, man. I got Carolina winning this game as well. Although, despite, what's going on with Darnold and Wilson and the Jets, I think Zach Wilson will have a good game, but I do think the Panthers will pull this one off slightly.
Oh, slightly. Okay. With that being said, let's move on to the most anticipated rookie debut matchup. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars will travel to Houston and play the Houston Texans. Caleb, who do you have winning this game?
I got the Jags. I think Trevor Lawrence has a solid game, and they do it easy. It's an easy win. Nothing too crazy out of this game. I don't see anything happening crazy, but I do think they come home with a dub.
I like the sound of that. I agree with you as well. I got the Jacksonville Jaguars. I, early in this episode, mentioned Trevor Lawrence as one of my breakout rookies in week one. I feel like he's going to have a dominant performance against Houston. They're really a team that's in the dumpster fire. They have Deshaun Watson on the roster, but they're just going to keep him as inactive. As much as I love Tyrod Taylor, I just don't think the Texans as a team don't have enough to compete with the Jaguars. And that's saying something because both teams are kind of in the rumble. But I got the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. Let's move on to an anticipated matchup, the rematch of the AFC divisional round. The Cleveland Browns will travel to Kansas City and play the Kansas City Chiefs. Caleb, do the Browns get their revenge, or do Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs start 1-0?
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs start 1-0.
Yes, sir. I agree with you as well. I believe the Chiefs are going to beat the Browns. I feel like it will be a good game. I think it's going to be as good as it was in a divisional round. But Patrick Mahomes is going to be the full starter the whole game. I don't expect Chad Henne to come in the fourth quarter to bail him out. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good game back and forth. And I also kind of want to see if the Browns could keep up their momentum of last year. Last year was something we haven't seen out of the Browns, a team that wins 11 games and wins a playoff game. I want to see if the Browns could keep that up against the Chiefs, but I think the Chiefs, they've been to back-to-back Super Bowls, and they pretty much have the same team. They got a revamped offensive line that's even better and much improved. Give me the Chiefs. They're just a better-equipped team. Another game to look forward to with a young quarterback matchup, the two Alabama quarterbacks. You got Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins traveling to New England to play the rookie Mac Jones. I'll start off first by saying I believe Mac Jones will get it done, and I believe the New England Patriots will beat the Miami Dolphins. I feel like the way how Mac Jones has played in the preseason, the way how he beat Cam out for the starting QB position in week one, the way how Bill Belichick likes him, and the way how the offense looks, I just feel like the Patriots are just a better equipped team. You got Hunter Henry, Jadu Smith in the offseason. The defense looks better. Trading for Kyle Van Noy. Dante Hightower is back. It's going to be fun. I got the Pats winning this game against the Dolphins. I want to hear who you have, Caleb. Who you got winning this game between the Pats and the Dolphins?
Man, I'm riding with you, dude. I'm riding with you. I got Mac Jones getting this one, but I have it being a close game. I truly do. I have it being a close game, and I think that Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa both perform well in this game. I truly do.
I like the sound of that. And another game that you and I will both be looking forward to, my Green Bay Packers will travel not to New Orleans because of what happened down in Louisiana. Thoughts and prayers for the people out there going through Hurricane Ida. To Jacksonville to play the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, you already know who I'm going with. You know I'm riding with my team, the green and gold, the Green Bay Packers. That's just a no-brainer for all you listeners out there who listen to this episode. You know who I'm riding with and why. A-Rod's back. The defense looks better than ever. Offense, you still got the best receiver in the NFL, Davante Adams. You got a top 10 budding tight end at Robert Tonyan. You got Aaron Jones as nearly a top 5 running back. This team is loaded. Randall Cobb is back in a Green Bay Packers uniform. I think they're going to dominate the Saints down in Duval. I want to hear what you have, Caleb. Do you think the Saints will pull off the upset, or will the Cheeseheads get it done against the Saints?
Man, the Cheeseheads get it done, man. We don't even have our best receiver. But I think the Cheeseheads, you guys will get it done today. It's okay. I say that with low energy in my voice because I want the Saints to win, but I'll give it to y'all.
Hey, but one thing I will say about the Saints is let's see how Jameis Winston looks. Because Jameis Winston being QB1 of the Saints is going to be very interesting, because if he has one of those games where he pops off, upset could happen. But I do not think that will happen. With that being said, let's move on to another game that occurs. The Denver Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater travel to the Giants to play Daniel Jones and the newly revamped Giants offense. Caleb, who you have winning this game?
I have the Giants winning this one. This one's also a tough one, though, because, like, both teams are, like, you know what I'm saying? But I think the Giants win this one. I hope Galladay could play and you know, be a big help out to the Giants. But I think the Giants take this one.
Ooh, okay. This is where we differ a little bit. I got the Denver Broncos going into New York and beating the Giants. And I just feel like it's only because of QB situation. I trust Teddy Bridgewater more than I do Daniel Jones. I trust Teddy Bridgewater to not turn the ball over in bad moments. I feel like the Broncos, their defense looks better. Drafted Patrick Surtain in the draft. You signed Kyle Fuller from the Chicago Bears. Von Miller's back. You got Bradley Chubb there. There's two edge rushers. I feel like this defense is going to wreak havoc on Daniel Jones. And I think the Broncos are going to go into New York and snatch a W. And with that being said, let's move on to Sunday Night Football. A very good matchup here. We got the Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton. With Justin Fields coming soon, it may not be week one. Maybe later on in the season, we'll see Justin Fields. But for right now, it's Andy Dalton. We'll travel to the new SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, which is a very nice piece. The host of this upcoming Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56, SoFi Stadium, will play host to the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford. His first game in a LA Rams uniform. We know how they got Stafford. They traded a haul. They traded Jared Goff. They traded first-round picks to get Stafford. They got him on the team. I want to hear who you got, Caleb. Will the Rams get the job done in Stafford's debut, or will the Bears play spoiler and upset the Los Angeles Rams?
I think the Rams get the job done, bro. I think they get the job done in his debut. I truly think that the Rams get the job done. They have a solid receiving core. Hey, I think they cruise by and get a win. I hope to see Justin Fields out there as well. But I think the Rams get it done.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. I agree with you as well. I believe the Los Angeles Rams get the job done against the Chicago Bears. Rams are just a better built team. They have the better quarterback. They have the better offense, even the better defense. I like what the Rams have. The Rams could be a team to beat in the NFC potentially this year. And I think they start off on the right foot here against the Chicago Bears. And the final game of week one. Monday Night Football, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens will travel to Sin City, Las Vegas, to play the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr. I'll start off first by saying this is going to be a no-brainer. I think the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson are going to go into Las Vegas, and I think they're going to get the job done. I feel like they're the better-equipped team. They have the better offense. Their defense looks better. Have the better coaching staff. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to be out on a quest this year to potentially prove that they may have won a playoff game with Lamar Jackson last year, but they want more. They want more than just one playoff win. They want to get to the AFC Championship game. They want to get to another Super Bowl appearance. And I feel like this is going to be a game to where that quest for another Lombardi starts. For the Baltimore Ravens, and I think Lamar Jackson will get it done. But I will say, I look forward to seeing a fully jam-packed crowd at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, because that place will be rocking. I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. For this final game of week one, Monday Night Football, Ravens and Raiders, who do you have winning that game?
Man. I got the Ravens, man. I think that Lamar is going to come out, look great. He's going to play great. He has Rashad, I can't even pronounce
it. Rashad Bateman's on IR.
He's on IR. He's not even playing, huh? Damn.
Yeah, he's not playing. So right now, the receiving core, you got Brown. Your main guy is pretty much Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews.
I honestly still think the Ravens will get it done. I think they'll slide by and get it done. But I am excited to see what the Rams will do. I won't lie. I definitely am excited to see what – not the Rams, the Raiders. I'm excited to see what the Raiders will do. I seen the stadium, beautiful stadium, a bunch of things to do by it. But I'm excited to see what they do.
Hey, man, I'm excited to see what happens as well. I'm excited that week one is upon us. Those are our predictions for week one. We'll see who has a better prediction table. I feel like I feel pretty confident in my predictions. I'm pretty sure Caleb feels the same way with his predictions and his confidence level. With that being said, let's close out this episode with our playoff predictions. With the football season upon us, you already know you got to go with who you believe will make the playoffs. For this year. And I will start off first by simply saying this year in the playoffs, I'll start off first in the AFC. I believe in the first seed is the Kansas City Chiefs. You got the same team. They made it to the Super Bowl last 2 years. Don't see anything changing there. My two seed, I got the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia is back and it's here to stay. What happened last year was not just a fluke. They are a good team in the AFC. They're going to be one of the teams to beat besides the Kansas City Chiefs. I got the Buffalo Bills as my two seed. My third seed, like I mentioned earlier, the Ravens' quest to the Super Bowl starts now. I got them as my third seed. I believe they can win the AFC North. I got the Ravens as my third seed. I believe they're going to be a fantastic team. I think Lamar Jackson goes back to his MVP form like he was in 2019. They're going to be an impressive team to look out for. And my fourth seed, this may shock you, Caleb, but I got the Indianapolis Colts as my fourth seed. I believe with Carson Wentz and company, they got a good chance to win a division, and I believe they will. They are my fourth seed. Fifth seed, I got the Cleveland Browns. That's right. Last year was not a fluke for the Browns. They're going to be a consistent playoff team. I believe they snag up that fifth seed just behind – they're just behind the Ravens. It's very close. It's a toss-up between those two teams, but I got the Browns being my fifth seed. I got the New England Patriots with Mac Jones as my sixth seed. That's right. The Pats, after a one-year playoff hiatus, I believe they will return. It'll be a sixth seed, and I just can't wait to see what happens with the New England Patriots. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I got them rounding out as my seventh seed. That's right. The Steelers may have had a lot of changes. The whole line may be revamped. But you got the boy Najee Harris. I believe Juju Smith-Schuster will bounce back. Chase Claypool will only get better. And this may be Big Ben's final ride. Why not send it off with the playoff appearance? Seventh seed. That is my AFC 1-7. Who do you have, Caleb, in your AFC 1-7? Who do you believe will make it to the playoffs? Now, this could change as the season goes on. Maybe by week 14, week 15, it will be more settled out. But before the season starts, who do you have as your 1-7 in the AFC?
In the AFC, number one, I'm going with Kansas City. I think that, you know, that's just without explanation, honestly. Honestly, I think it's without explanation. Number two, I'm sliding with Tennessee. I think they're going to be, like I said, they're a disciplined team. Very, very disciplined team. I think they know what it takes to get the job done. So I'm going with Tennessee at number two. Number three, I'm going with Buffalo. Again, another high scoring explosive team. Number four, I'm going with Cleveland. Another high scoring explosive team that actually had the best year of their career last year. I think they'll be good as well. Number five, I'm going straight down to the Chargers. I think that they're going to have a solid year. Herbert's going to put them on the map. Number six, I'm going to hit New England. I think they're going to get in there. I think Mac Jones is going to find a way to slide right in there perfectly. And number seven, I think you guys can expect to see the Las Vegas. I think number seven, you know. Oh my God. Baltimore. Baltimore is going to be there. Baltimore. I totally forgot about Baltimore, but let me put. Yeah, no, I'm going to put Baltimore ahead of New England. Or no, I'm going to put Baltimore where the Chargers are at. I'll put New England after the Chargers, and the Chargers are going to be the seventh seed.
All right. I like that list. You got the Chiefs 1, Titans 2, got the Bills 3, Browns 4, Ravens 5, got the Patriots 6, Chargers 7. That's a pretty good list. I will say that's a bold prediction going with the Tennessee Titans as a number 2 seed. Do you think they take that leap into being an AFC title contender?
Not that they're a title contender. Not that they're a title contender. I just think that they perform well in the regular season.
Ooh, okay.
Right. That's just my opinion. I think they perform well this regular season.
All right. I like the sound of that. Let's move on to the NFC playoff picture. I'll throw it out to you, Kev. That's right with you. Who do you have as your 1-7 NFC playoff picture?
Okay. Number one, I'm gonna have to go with the Packers. I think that, you know, they're the best team talent wise. I think that Rodgers is gonna, you know, do what he's supposed to do. Number two, I think the Niners coming number two. I think they'll have a solid team, and they'll do solid with either Garoppolo or Trey Lance. At number three, I'm going to slide the Rams in there. I think they'll have a solid year. Number four, I'm going to put the Seahawks in there. Number five.
Wouldn't you have the Bucks at number four, since they would win the division, and then your Seahawks?
Yeah. You're right. So at number four would be the Bucks, and then actually I'm gonna put the Seahawks at number two, and then the Niners at number five. I'm gonna put the Cardinals at number six. And I'm going to put Dallas at number seven.
Oh, okay. Hey, mm-hmm. that's quite a high list. You got my Green Bay Packers one, Seahawks two. Who you have at number three, you said?
Packers, Seahawks, Tampa, Rams, San Francisco.
Wait. Who do you have winning the NFC East?
The Cowboys.
Okay, so you would most likely have the. Well, they won the division, so they would be the fourth seed.
That's a different way of working it, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so I like that list though. I like it. I love seeing your wide variety of teams. I'm shocked you got the Seahawks that high at number two. Here is my list.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear yours.
I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a number one seed. Look, they're bringing back all 22 of their starters from the Super Bowl that won it all last year. I think they have the same success. I got them as a one seed. Number two seed, I got the Green Bay Packers. I love the Packers. They bring back 10 of 12 starters on the offense. They got a new defensive coordinator who I think will revamp this defense. And I think the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, they bring back Randall Cobb, could be a potential last dance kind of momentum feeling. I figure they're coming hot. I think they're going to be the number two seed, just falling behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the top seed. My third seed, this may shock some people. I got the San Francisco 49ers win the NFC West. I think with Jimmy Garoppolo fully healthy, with the 49ers being back and better than ever, Wasn't it last time the 49ers were fully healthy? Didn't they make it to Super Bowl 52? Just to clarify, did they make it to Super Bowl when they were fully healthy?
Believe so.
So why is it that all the people are kind of sleeping and doubting on the 49ers when they had Jimmy Garoppolo and they fully healthy defense? They're the Super Bowl. So I got them as a third seed. I think they'll win the division. It's going to be tough, but I think they get it done. And for my fourth seed, I got with you, Caleb, I got the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys are in a situation where if they don't win the division, somebody's getting fired. Somebody's getting fired or somebody's getting traded. Because there's no excuse for this Cowboys team to miss the playoffs. Absolutely none. You got Dak Prescott fully healthy. You got a good offense with Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. And you got a somewhat improved defense with the addition of Micah Parsons in the draft. There's no excuse for the Cowboys. So I got them as my fourth seed. I believe they're going to win the division. But rounding out my wild cards, I got the Los Angeles Rams as my fifth seed. I think with Matt Stafford and company, the Rams are going to be back. I think the Rams are going to be a team where they sneak in and make the playoffs. I then have Let Russ Cook and the Seattle Seahawks. I believe they sneak in the playoffs. I feel regardless of who the Seahawks have, you got Russell Wilson as your starter. You're going to be a playoff team. I got him sliding as my sixth seed. And with the seventh seed to close out the NFC playoff picture, I got the Arizona Cardinals. That's right. The Arizona Cardinals will sneak into the playoffs, and that will be my playoff picture in the AFC and the NFC. And the funniest thing is, Caleb, before we close it out, there was just a recent news that just now came out, and it's a bad one for the Baltimore Ravens. This just came out on the sleeperapp.com, which you guys should definitely check out. They do fantasy football. They do football-related news. There has just been a report that Gus Edwards sustained a potential knee injury, and it looks like it is going to be a torn ACL. Caleb, what does this mean for the Baltimore Ravens? Knowing that you lost J.K. Dobbins, knowing that you lost your other running back due to Achilles injury, and now Gus Edwards is down with a potential torn ACL injury. You have Ty Williams and Le'Veon Bell as your two running backs. What does this mean for the Baltimore Ravens? Does this affect them in the division? Can this affect them of possibly going on a Super Bowl run?
I think it does. Definitely think it hurts them, dude. I definitely think it hurts them. Ah, man, that's horrible news. And that guy is my running back too, so it's definitely tough for me right now. But you know what? I think that they utilize other running backs on the market. I think this is a great time for Le'Veon Bell to step in, prove himself again, show what he's worth. And, you know, if he could be that MVP quarterback that he was when he was with, I mean, that MVP running back that he was when he was with the Steelers, the Ravens could still be good. But it's just horrible news. It's horrible news. That guy is on my team. It sucks. I hope he gets better.
Yeah, man. I hope he does as well. This is going to be a big hit on the Baltimore Ravens, especially with all the high praise I was talking about the Baltimore Ravens and them possibly making a Super Bowl run. This loss by the Ravens, it's going to hurt. But one thing I think it will help and show is Lamar's chance of potentially winning an MVP. This is going to help improve his chances to win MVP. And also, like you mentioned, Caleb, a chance for Le'Veon Bell to get more touches. Because when Le'Veon Bell was first signed, people were like, okay, you got Gus Edwards, Ty Williams, Le'Veon Bell. Okay, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, you're probably going to be in just for a limited amount of snaps. But now that Gus Edwards is hurt, now you got Le'Veon Bell. He could potentially compete for the RB1 spot. And like you mentioned, Caleb, if he could go back to that form that he had with the Steelers, or even honestly – if he could stay healthy like it was with the Jets and maybe get 800 or 900 yards, a couple touchdowns, I feel like even that could be very helpful for the Baltimore Ravens, just so Lamar Jackson doesn't have to run a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think the goal with Jackson is he needs to become more of a throwing quarterback and running when need to, you know, when in need. And then once you just mix that into the pot, he's just, oh, run is going to be so much easier. Those run plays that he does, 8 yards each play to 40, big breaks, you know what I'm saying? To where maybe he doesn't have to throw it that much. And they could just totally mix it up. So I honestly think this is a great moment for, you know, a great time, not a great moment for anybody, but a great, great time and a light that's on Le'Veon Bell to, you know, hey, all eyes are on you, bro. And I don't even know if he signed to them, right? I don't think
he did.
Signed the squad, or did he sign the contract?
He did sign a contract. He originally was on the practice squad, but then he got moved up to the regular roster. So he is on the 53-man roster for the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. Dope. I think, hey, even better.
Hey, and from a fantasy football perspective, if you see Le'Veon Bell as a free agent in your fantasy leagues, you better snag him up because he's going to get those RB1 or RB2 touches for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you better snag him up quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yep, quick, fast, in a hurry. Because one thing is for certain, in one of my fantasy leagues, I think it was a dynasty one, I snagged up Mr. Williams from the Ravens, and that's kind of looking better with the way how these injuries are shaping out for the Ravens running back core. So hopefully for the Ravens, they, from this point forward, stay healthy. They hopefully have a good season. We'll see what happens there. End of the episode on a little bit of a sadder note, but with that being said, that will conclude episode 57 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. We are back and better than ever. I'll throw it out to you one more time, Caleb. For the listeners out there, where can they find all the great work that you do?
They can find me on Instagram at @onecalebconant. They can find me on Twitter at @calebconant. So you dig that, click the link in the bio and you can find other things too. Matt, it was great being on with you, my boy. You know, we will come back and drop another fire episode again. Where can they find you at, though?
Yes, sir. We'll definitely have another fire episode coming soon.
Sir.
You got me. My Twitter is @Matt_Skura. You got my Instagram at @Matt_Skura20. And I have a link tree in both of those bios to where you could find this very podcast everywhere, whether you're on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It is available everywhere you listen to your podcast too. And as always, Caleb, it is a pleasure to be talking sports with you, football, NBA related stuff. It was a great episode. I'm excited for Thursday Night Football. I'm excited for week one that's coming around the corner. And basketball preseason coming next month, regular season in about a month and a half. It is going to be exciting time for sports. Fall is around the corner. And you know what that means? Football is upon us. As always, it was a great episode with you, Caleb. This is Matt Skura and my great co-host, Caleb Conant. We are out of here.
Oh, says you dig that.